It is Baptism Sunday. Anybody excited? One of the most counterintuitive truths in life is this. To truly live, you must first die. The only way to live the life God designed you to live is to die to the life you've been designing for yourself. And the only reason to say yes to such a ridiculous thing is to believe that it's a worthwhile upgrade. So today, we're going to celebrate this truth with the baptism of three new people into our family here at Grace 2, this first service, and one in the second. We offer baptisms four times a year for anyone able to make a confession of faith. At Grace, we don't baptize infants. We baptize people who have a little bit of a sense of what is going on. So it can be as young as 7 when you're able to make that confession, or you could be 77 or anything in between. So today is the first baptism service of 2022, and then we have a few more coming up April, July, and October 30th. You can sign up anytime on our website. We do baptisms in obedience to Jesus' final instructions to his disciples when he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's where we get some good, solid Trinitarian doctrine. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's from Matthew 28. Let's pray. God, we dedicate this service to you. We dedicate our lives to you. God, we ask that you would help us get a deeper revelation of this mysterious and beautiful sacrament of baptism. And I pray that it would change all of us to live with the joy that only you can give, that inspires us to live radical, fruitful lives. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we receive this sacrament of baptism because baptism identifies us with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. The Apostle Paul said it like this in his letter to the Romans. He said, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism. That's why you go under the water. We're buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, that's when you come out of the water, because if you stay down there too long, you are dead. Through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, this is the key part. If we've been united with him in his death, we will be united with him in resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him. And how many of you know, sometimes it's like you have to keep doing that. So that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So the creation all around us illustrates this idea of life coming out of death. It's just programmed into all of creation. Let's look at John 12 real quick. In John chapter 12, Jesus had just come into Jerusalem, and he's given this king's welcome. Remember, all these people are going nuts. His ministry has gone viral. The whole city's come out to greet him. It's packed for him. And two of his disciples are standing there, and Jesus looks to his disciples, and he says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And they're like, yes, finally, he's going to be made king, right? That's what they were waiting for. And Jesus continues, and he says these very strange words. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. You can just imagine the disciples are like, what is he talking about? Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be, and my Father will honor the one who serves me. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. For sure, Jesus is saying this about his own life, but as he always often does, he's talking about us as well. So, okay, this is a 100-pound bag of wheat. I am just dying to throw this, but I'm gonna try not to. This is wheat. This is real, genuine wheat from the Rockingham Co-op. Okay, I just couldn't help myself. Each seed of wheat contains three parts. We have a picture here. Okay, this kernel of wheat. Each seed contains three parts. First, it includes what's called the endosperm. That's the white part. That's the main part of the kernel, and that's where you get your flour. There's the bran. That's the outer part. That's the brown part. And then there is the germ. That's the tiniest part at the bottom of the kernel. It's only 2.5% of a kernel of wheat. It's the embryo, the sprouting section. That's the part that's really alive. So when a seed is buried in the right way, in the right soil, at the right temperature, at the right depth, in the right season, with the right moisture, it dies. And when it dies, it produces, according to Jesus and to science, it produces many seeds. It becomes more alive, actually, than it's ever been. So let's do a little math this morning. I see we have some kids in here today, and we have some smart college kids over there. Let's do a little math. Let's look at this word many. Has anybody ever thought the Bible is like super understated? It says things like many, forever. According to an article I read in the Kansas State University, this journal in the Kansas State University, just, you know, you ever do a little reading in that journal? Anyway, one seed yields one plant with an average of 5 heads. Each of those heads produces 22 kernels. So how many kernels do you get out of a plant? Come on, anybody? 110. It's simple math. 110. So one seed produces 110 kernels. Now, let's take this out a couple generations. Let's presume that you would take every seed you got, plant it, and every seed you got from that plant, you would plant it. One seed in the first generation produces 110. In the second, it produces 12,100. In the third, 1,331,000. Again, that's if you keep planting everything you get. You don't eat any of it. In fourth generation, you get 146 million seeds. And if you multiply all those and you plant all those, you get 16 billion seeds. From one seed to 16 billion seeds in 5 generations, 5 growth seasons. Well, how much is that? I mean, 16 billion seeds, you're not like aware of how much that is. Well, I'm here to tell you, there are 16,000 kernels in 1 pound. So if we have 16 billion seeds, we have 1 million pounds of seed. That's 10,000 of these bags. 10,000 of these bags. That's enough to fill this whole room twice on top of each other from one seed. I ran this by my brother-in-law, whose family has been raising wheat in Stewart's Draft for over 100 years, and he verified this is true. One seed produces 1 million pounds of wheat in 5 seasons. Okay, give this 100-pound bag right here, 5 generations, this bag, 5 seasons, it would produce more than 3 million pounds of wheat per person in the 7.9 billion person world. That bag right there, give it 5 seasons, it would produce more than enough to feed the entire planet forever. It reminds me of another saying Jesus gave once about wheat and bread. He said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever." It's blowing my mind. So what does this have to do with baptism? This is like a wheat lesson or something. What does this have to do with our everyday living? Well, the first time you surrender to God's way, the first time you give up being right about everything, you tell God you don't actually know how to live your life. You need help. You ask him to forgive you. You ask him to help you really live. You die in a certain way the first time you do that. If you believe, even with the tiniest bit of belief, that Jesus is who he says he is, that he actually died for all the sins of the world, if you say that out loud, you are resurrected in a certain way. Your old life is buried alive like a seed. It dies, but then it grows into this brand new thing. So that's where we start. And baptism is the celebration, the ceremony we use to celebrate that first death, so to speak. But I'm thinking about it like this. What if every time you surrender to God's way, you plant a seed? What if every single time throughout every single day, you surrender to your own way and you do life God's way? What if every time there, you plant a seed? Because he said many seeds, right? Well, I don't know about you, but when I was baptized and I was 14, my life certainly did not produce many great seeds that day. But over time, over and over, it started to actually produce something. That's produced something in other people. So, I mean, ultimately, don't get me wrong, this passage is about Jesus and his fruitfulness, the seeds that he produced. But he goes on to say, you got to follow me. So he's making a parallel that this matters for you too. Every act of sacrifice and surrender you offer to Jesus results in some form of resurrection and new life, whether you see it or not. So what does it look like? Well, I think it looks like a middle school girl who somehow rises above the drama that is all around her in person and on her little phone. And she has this confidence because of God's living spirit within her. And she plants a few seeds on her friends. You can be confident as a middle school girl. You don't have to live up to all this drama. I think it looks like a high school junior guy who somehow has a great deal of fun on Friday night without being blackout drunk. Why? Why does he have so much fun? Because with God's spirit living within him, he's full of adventure of a different type. And he plants seeds every time his friends are like, "What are you doing? Like, how do you have that?" It looks like college students somehow standing up to this secularism that looks good and this humanism that looks good and sounds great, but you know there's really no life in it because people get burned out trying to be good all the time. And they see this light in you and they see this difference in you, and you get to talk about it with them a little bit at a time, and you start planting seeds. Somebody's gonna have to clean this up. Probably gonna be me. Looks like a young mother of three who is exhausted in every way. But she goes to the Lord. That spirit that he initially gave her is awakened and more alive. And all day she's planting seeds in those kids' hearts. Looks like a woman who somehow has overcome anxiety. And now she's out there helping other women overcome anxiety. Just a tiny little bit, just like a little bit at a time. looks like a woman working at the ER, massively overextended. She ought to quit. She doesn't need to work. Her husband makes more money than they need. But for some reason, God is telling her to keep at it during crazy COVID land. And he gives her this strength. God's spirit is alive within her. And every day, she's not in there just to give people medicine or whatever. She is planting little tiny seeds in one of the most anxious places in Harrisonburg. On and on and on. Unless a seed dies in the ground, it won't do anything. But if it dies and it surrenders its life, not just once, but on an everyday way, man, does that life produce something beautiful. Okay, so can we have a ministry team come up front? I would imagine there has to be at least one person here who wants to get this thing started of walking with God. Let it be your day. Don't leave here. If God is talking to you about starting something that's like either not started, or maybe you had a false start, or maybe you need a restart, let us pray with you. Also, if you're in a season where you're like, I'm walking with God, but there's just like nothing happening, I don't feel like there's any seeds being planted from my life, we'd love to pray with you too. Other than that, I'm going to pray blessing, and then I would like to encourage, we're going to have Stan in the back, I believe, Stan Swartz, director for the drama, and Rebecca Marafino available. Please, where are you going to be, Rebecca? Okay, so children's ministry volunteers, go over there. Drama volunteers, go over there. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your incredibly massive compassion for us and your desire not to see us live lives that just kind of get by, but you desire that we would live lives that are incredibly fruitful. So God, would you help us? Help us to surrender to you. You've only always been good. It's our mistake to think otherwise. Would you help us to surrender you initially, and 100 times a day we're tempted to turn to our own control and being right and looking good and all that stuff. We surrender it to you. I just pray your blessing on every person, that they would leave here today with an increased measure of faith and expectancy and hope. Would you heal people, God, for the things that are broken in their physical bodies and in their hearts? Would you fix the messes in our marriages and relationships with our children and our parents? Would you do what only you can do, God? That's why we're here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you all. Love you all. Come forward for prayer, or go and sign up for something. God bless you.